Good morning, church. Ready for some sunshine? I think there's a sign-up sheet. Oh, good morning. Welcome to Trinity, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Turn your attention to your bulletin, and there's some extra pages in here. We're going to welcome new members at the 10:15 service, and that'll be a treat. Also, if your contact information, not your name, I hope that stays the same, but if your street address or your home phone number or your cell phone number, your email address has changed, we want to know in the church office, and next Sunday we'll have an insert in the bulletin for you to make sure that the information that we have is correct. Also, if you received an email survey from the Bridge team, please go ahead and fill that out and turn it in to us so we can get a good idea of what you believe is important about Trinity and the values that the congregation holds as a group. And this morning, we have a special speaker, and I'm going to let Jenny do that in a minute. Rather than prayer at 1:30 on Mondays, I'm going to need to change that to 2:30 because I keep getting a lot of requests for 1 o'clock meetings for different groups in which I participate. So it'll be 2:30 every Monday rather than 1:30. And of course, there is no confirmation class this Wednesday because it is Ash Wednesday. And we will have a time of worship with ashes and confirmation and communion at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. The CPR training, updated information after the bulletin was printed. The date that's been chosen or scheduled for the CPR class is Tuesday, March 28th at 5:30. It is a 3-hour class, and everyone can take the class for $5 unless you want to have a certification, and that will be $20, but everybody else can take the class for a $5 fee. So that's a pretty good deal, I think, and hopefully I'll have a sign-up sheet for that also next week. Is there any information that you'd like to share with one another? Then let's share God's peace. Peace within us, peace over us, let all around us be at peace. I'm going to ask you to stand and let's sing together our welcoming song, God Whose Giving Knows No Ending, number 565. In verses 1, 2, and 3.
Cross grave shattered door, gifted
Let's join together in our invitation to worship. Let us come to hear God's word. Let us come to actively do God's word. Let us come to count the cost. Let us come to experience God's joy. Let us come to find God's church.
We come to experience God.
Let us continue with our morning prayer. Holy One, Creator of us all, you call us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. You tell us our faith without works is dead. Open our hearts and mind to see the opportunities for ministry that are all around us. Help us see where our faith, our words, and all our actions come together to meet the needs of our neighbors. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. And, there you are.
Our Bible lesson today is from James 2, 14 to 26. Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, "Good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit." And then walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, "Sounds good. You take care of the faith department, I'll handle the works department." Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith, fit together hand in hand. Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God and then observe you complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? That's just great. Demons do that. And what good does it do them? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse on your hands? Wasn't our ancestor Abraham made right with God by works when he placed his son Isaac on the sacrificial altar? Isn't it obvious that faith and works are yoked partners, that faith expresses itself in works, that the works are works of faith? The full meaning of believe in the scripture sentence, "Abraham believed God was set right with God," includes his action. It's that weave of believing and acting that got Abraham named God's friend. Is it not evident that a person who made right with God, not by a barren faith, but by faith fruitful in works? The same with Rahab, the Jericho harlot. Wasn't her action in hiding God's spies and helping them escape that seamless unity of believing and doing what counted with God? The very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. Separate faith and works, and you get the same thing, a corpse.
May God bless the reading and hearing of that holy word. And Jenny and Megan, I'm going to step down here and listen.
Hi, most of you know me. My name is Jenny LaGrange, and I'm a member of the Outreach Committee here at Trinity. Last year, when I made you aware of the choice for the Lenten Mission for 2022, I was able to show a slide of the well that members at Trinity had co-sponsored digging in South Sudan. In 2021, the Lenten mission had been water for South Sudan. Our church surpassed the goal of that Lenten mission, and we collected over $6,000 that year. Last year, Trinity helped Habitat for Humanity of DuBois County build a home for Becky Manerick Armstrong and her husband and children. And the goal to be collected was surpassed last year also. So with the approval of the church council and the outreach committee, chose this year Dove House as our 2023 mission for Lent. My hope is that we've set a precedent and that we'll be surpassing the goal that we set from now on, but especially for this year. You may have read about Dove House in the newspaper. You may have even gone to the open house they had when they built their new facility. Hopefully, even if you've never heard of Dove House and you don't know anything about it, you'll agree that women hold an important place in society. So, if a woman has a drug abuse problem and you can help her in her recovery, you would not only be helping her, but also community at large. You'd be acting as salt for the earth. This morning, I hope you will listen to Megan Dergloff. She's the director of operations at Dove House, and she's going to explain to us how Trinity could help them not only survive and be successful, but thrive in the future. Thank you.
Hello. I can't help but get just a little bit emotional whenever she is talking about being the salt of the earth, and just how wonderfully Dove House and our mission fits with the reading today. We're not put on this earth to just sit idly by and say, like, yes, I believe in God, or I believe in Jesus, our Savior, but whenever you give back to the women of Dove House and just the community in general, I love that mission of this church and how it's almost like bringing heaven to earth. So thank you so much for choosing Dove Recovery House for Women for your Lenten giving. Lent is one of my most favorite times of the year because I think it gives us an opportunity to reflect on the sacrifice that we can never repay. And I know that the women of Dove House similarly would never be able to repay their generosity to your generosity, but we're so thankful for it. So just a little bit of background on the need for a recovery home in DuBois County. I worked in the justice system, the legal system, I'll call it, for 12 years, and I worked with individuals who were struggling from substance use disorder, and they would get released back into the community, this community, DuBois County, and they would have no place to go oftentimes, except for returning back home to the same old friends and family that they were using drugs and alcohol with before they got arrested. And we would hold them away in jail without access to life-saving treatment or recovery services, and then expect them to have learned their lesson. When in reality, when you look at the way that individuals with substance use disorder have grown up, their life experiences, their genetics, just sitting in jail for several months doesn't actually change much of anything for them except for make their life worse. Addiction is not a moral failing. It's a brain disease, chronically relapsing. And in Dubois County, locally, our court statistics were showing that 50% of the crimes charged in this community were related to substances. And so that's saying we're not locking away people who are scary and violent. We're locking away people who have a chronically relapsing brain disorder. Also, 1 in 8 children have lived with at least one parent diagnosed with substance use disorder. So whenever Jenny says, oh, we're not just helping these women, we're helping their children, we're helping their employers get healthy as well. And when you look at women accessing treatment, the women face unique barriers. Things like, who's going to take care of the kids while I'm gone? Who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to keep the house, especially if they're single parents? In the United States, well, actually, especially in Indiana, the average cost of treatment is $42,000 for inpatient residential treatment, $42,000 for one stay. I have some women right now living at Dove House who have been to inpatient treatment more than 15 times. And so to say that women, individuals in this country have to be privileged to access the treatment that they require to treat their disease is an unfortunate reality. Enter Dove Recovery House for Women. We are a residential recovery home for women with substance use disorder. And when women enter our program, oftentimes they are at their lowest. They're at their breaking point. They enter with tears in their eyes of fear, but also excitement for what their new life is about to look like. Oftentimes they've destroyed every relationship in their life. Most often it's not a family member bringing them into our house. It's a caseworker or a defense attorney or a cop. They start their journey feeling broken, defeated, but our job at Dove House is to love them until they can begin to love themselves. They start our program as a level one in a still period, so they have an opportunity to sit still for 30 days, just being with their thoughts, their feelings, and they begin to experience emotion again without having to hide or push them down with substances. And that's a scary thing. It's very uncomfortable for the women. We say, you know what, once you stop using substances, that's when the real work begins. They start coming to terms with the people that they've hurt, the things that they've done, that they're just not proud of. The concern of now oftentimes children in Department of Child Services. And so as they work through that first 30-day still period where they don't have access to social media and their text messages and all the things that keep their brains spinning all the time, they just get still, and they be with those thoughts and feelings. And eventually, they begin to work through the program. They can level up to a level 2, level 3, and level 4, at which point they begin to gain more privileges, opportunities to start working in the community. And all the while, they're receiving life-saving, evidence-based treatment services with clinical treatment providers. So we do have a licensed clinical social worker on staff and also a peer recovery case manager. And our peer recovery case manager is somebody who's also in recovery herself. She's been in recovery for 7 years this month, and she's proof that people do recover. And during that time, they're in group therapy, they're in individual therapy, they're receiving case management services, working on things like How do I get my license back? How do I fill out an application? What do I need to put on my resume? And then working through in groups, what are some coping mechanisms that I can use instead of turning to drugs? Parenting skills, nutrition, cooking, all the ladies do their own cooking in the home. They're responsible for their own chores. They're building life skills that are going to help make them successful long term. And wrapped into all of it is this trauma-informed approach that we pride ourselves on at Dove House, in that we recognize that, and our data shows this, that 85% of the women who come into Dove House have experienced some form of sexual trauma, and 90% of the women who enter Dove House have experienced some form of adult psychological, physical, sexual, or emotional abuse. And so we recognize that trauma is the gateway drug. Substances might have brought them to Dove House, but trauma brought them to substances. When you ask yourself, what sort of 13-year-old girl picks up meth or heroin? It's a girl who's hurting, a girl who doesn't know where else to turn. And so, as I said, we wrap ourselves around them with love and care, and this community has been so generous, and it's been really amazing to watch. We ask our women for a 90-day commitment to attend Dove House, but they can stay for up to 2 years. And the best part about this program is that when you ask women, why didn't you get into treatment sooner? Again, they always say, well, it's just too expensive, I couldn't afford it. Dove House is free. Dove House is, we provide the sheets, we provide the bed, we provide the pillows, the toiletries, the food. They don't pay rent. They don't pay for their therapy. It's free. And when you are able to remove every single barrier that is an excuse for not going to treatment, it allows the women's defense mechanisms to start to drop and for the healing to begin. And so Dove House is funded through charitable contributions. We work really hard to receive grants, but what's not covered by grants, the rest is through charitable contributions. And we can also support our ladies at Dove House by providing like donations, like such as shampoo, conditioner, all the basic necessities. Because whenever you're freeing up the brain space that they were once allocating for paying for rent, finding a job, buying all the things, feeding all the mouths, you're freeing up that brain space for them to really focus on what are the things that I need to do to get healthy, and setting healthy boundaries and moving through this world in a new way, a healed way. And so, in short, I think that Dove House is one of the best things that's happened to this community, because, as I said before, I watched women leave the justice system, and our referrals don't just come from the justice system. They can be self-referrals as well, or straight from the hospital. I've watched them return to unhealthy relationships, unhealthy friends, unhealthy, unsafe places. And Dove House has become a safe place for women to rest their head and to get healthy and to become the women, the mothers, the employees, the community members that they always dreamed and knew that they could be. And it's through your generosity that we're able to keep this program going. So thank you so much.
Can you answer questions?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to take questions.
Well, first of all, where is the physical building?
Dove Recovery House for Women. We are located off of 15th Street in Jasper. So like if you're going east toward Sultan's Run, it would be on the right-hand side of the road where the Green Power Plant used to be.
Well, I mean, I knew that, but I just asked you.
It's a very beautiful house. It's a wonderful place to get healthy and recover. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can house 15 women a night. 15 women. Today, we're at 12. We're bringing in two more March 1st. What else? I would say that first and foremost, please just keep the staff and the women living at Dove House in your prayers. The struggles that they face on a daily basis are large. but we, every Dove that comes in, we want to provide them with basically like a shower caddy that has toothpaste and toothbrushes and shampoo and conditioner. And we want them to have things like warm socks or warm slippers so that they can walk around in. Some of these women come with all that they have. Almost everybody comes with all that they have. And sometimes all that they have is what they have on at that moment. No money. Others do come with plenty of other resources. You know, addiction does not discriminate between socioeconomic status. So we also, as I mentioned before, we don't have a food budget. And so the women, they cook for themselves, but the ingredients have to be provided. And every once in a while on a busy day, it might be nice to just have something prepared. So we enjoy having people come to Dove House to cook with the ladies if they'd like. Or if you are famous for your cinnamon roll recipe, make up an extra batch and bring them on by. We have somebody there 24/7 that's staffing the house who can happily just receive any sort of donation that you'd like. Toilet paper, paper towels, anything that you consider might need to be in a home to keep it functioning, cleaning supplies, we would happily accept it.
Megan, do we need to call, like if we come to help cook or something, do we need to call ahead of time and not just show up?
So if you're going to come to cook or provide a meal, yeah, we would like to know ahead of time. If you're going to drop food off, you can just drop food off anytime. But as far as like volunteering in the home, it's important to us to keep the ladies safe. And so we require a background check for our volunteers. It's a very limited background check, but just to make sure that there aren't any sort of violent offenses on your record, we would want to make sure we're maintaining a safe space for the ladies. So there are a lot of different opportunities for volunteering at Dove House. We have a list of people who want to just provide transportation for the ladies, because as I mentioned before, in that first stage, they're not really at a place where they can just drive themselves around safely without finding old friends. So we have people who are on our transportation list, preferably women, so because of the nature of, you know, driving together alone. But things like yard work, I'm looking for somebody who wants to hang a TV right now. I have a TV and a mount donated, but I don't know how to do it. little handyman type things or woman type things. I need my refrigerator water filter replaced. Those are things that, like, throughout the house that I'm not super handy with. Picking up sticks out back, raking. I don't have anybody, like, a lawn service secured for whenever it starts getting warm again. So again, like anything that you could consider needing throughout a home or a household, those are things that Deaf House will need. But if you're a crafty kind of person, the girls love to craft, they love to paint. They've done some like decoupage. They're learning how to sew and loom knit, so things like yarn. Yeah. What else? Do they interact with each other? Yeah. Yeah, so I think that that was one of the things that I was most nervous about in coming to Deaf House. You know, you hear all the stereotypes of like girls are catty and they can't get along and they're gonna fight all the time. And I think that that's just like the world trying to tell us like that women can't be trusted, but that's beside the point. What I find at Deaf House is there is a culture of love that sometimes I don't even know that I experience in my own home. Like, the women understand each other's stories, they understand what they've been going through, and they elevate each other, and they understand that when one rises, we all rise. And they just, I'm not gonna say that they don't occasionally have their fights or arguments, as anyone does, because I think if you're in any sort of healthy relationship, you're gonna have conflict. But they interact very beautifully together. It's a big family. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? No. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Megan. That's it sounds like a huge task that you've undertaken, and yet it's when you break it down into small parts. So hopefully, folks here will not only will we make a donation, but we'll find some ways to interject and be part of your ministry. It is a true ministry. When you're talking about a woman, you know, getting healthy so that then she can see what her new life is like. Well, that's the perfect image for me of Christianity. You go from being a person with very little understanding of yourself or self-worth to becoming a new creation. So I'm excited to hear when you have your first success stories of someone who came in and then maybe a year or so later is working in the community and having a successful life. That would be so exciting. You know, true transformation, you might say. Yes. Thank you for coming. Our song of prayer this morning is Holy Spirit, Truth Divine, it's number 63, and we'll sing all four verses.
Spirit from its love.
about joys. What do you bring with you this morning? Got to have a pen. What joys do you bring with you to worship this morning?
Well, for me, the joy was having Megan here. We need to learn more about what God is really about.
Yes.
And I think she did a great job.
Yes. It is a joy to know something like that's even available here in Du Bois County, for sure. Other joys? Yes, Carol.
My daughter's coming
home. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. Is she driving?
No, we're flying.
Okay. Do you go to Evansville to pick her up?
No,
oh, great. And then you'll have a big dinner, right? That's wonderful. What's her name? Cindy. Any other joys? She has finally settled.
Yes. She's just down in the number four.
Okay. All right. That's Linda. All right. Connie, did I see your hand? I guess not. I thought I saw your hand go up, Connie. Okay. Jenny?
We had old friends from college days come and visit us yesterday. It was really nice to meet him. He had back surgery related to all the stuff in him 5 weeks ago, and he was able to drive here from Gerald and gap him all down in our house. I thought that was a miracle.
Yes. How about needs and concerns? Who do we need to lift in prayer this morning before God?
I continue to hold my brother-in-law Don in prayer as he's under hospice care now.
Big decision. And I saw on Facebook where President Carter has also entered hospice care. Paul and I got a call Friday night from his youngest son, who's about 27, and he, one of his best friends, had completed suicide. And so that was a real shock. So he's dealing with a heavy grief for the first time in his life. So we are keeping Liam, and his name is Liam, in our prayers as he learns about how to deal with his grief and still function in his position at work, where he's the manager of a brewery. I lift him up today. Any others? If not, then I want to invite you to take a deep breath. Thank God for being present here with us today. Another deep breath to thank God for being present in the lives of those who need a miracle, the lives of those who need comfort and assurance. And finally, a deep breath to intentionally join our hearts, our minds together in one accord as we go before God together as a family of faith. Almighty God, we come here each week seeking an acknowledgement that you still love us, that you still have plans for our lives, and that you still are there every moment of every day. You're there to comfort. You're there to assure us that whatever is going on, you're still with us. You will not leave us or forsake us. So we come to thank you, God, for making us your beloved people. We don't always feel like we deserve to be beloved, and yet you assure us that we are. God, we've had such good days recently. We've enjoyed the sunshine and the warmth. We've enjoyed visiting with former friends. We've enjoyed learning about Dove House. We celebrate with those friends who are able to make a change in their lives that will help them feel more useful and more worthy, more valuable in our society. Lord, we ask for travel mercies for those who are planning to visit. We especially lift up Cindy and all of Carol's family as they plan to get together and enjoy one another's company. Lord, sometimes we forget the joy of family and that it is meant to be our support system and our bring us moments of joy and grace. Lord, we lift up those who are continuing to grieve. We lift up Don and his family as they watch now for what is on the horizon. Lord, I lift up Liam as he begins this journey of grief, that he is able to get through each day, to do what he needs to do, and to be present to his employees. Lord, we ask your blessing on Linda as she settles into this new place to make it her home. And God, we ask special blessings on Megan and all the work that she does there at Dove House, on all the women that are in residence there, and all those who provide understanding and support, all those who provide care and grace. Lord, we thank you for just always hearing our prayers. We thank you for the privilege of prayer, the power of it, and the promise that you not only listen, you've already begun to respond in your ways that are not our ways, in that they are mysterious and yet full of hope. Lord, we pray all of our prayers, whether they are spoken aloud or uttered from our silent yet earnest hearts, through the power of your Holy Spirit and the blessed name of Jesus, your Son and our Lord. For he's the one who taught us to pray together in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As I was thinking about ministry in general, especially at the Dove House, I thought to myself, what if the reason God gives all of us life so that each one of us and all of us collectively can help God create heaven on earth? What if our ultimate goal is not to get to heaven in the end when we die, but rather to use the gift of time that we've all received, all that God gives us individually and, yes, collectively as a congregation, to help God create the kingdom of heaven here on earth, in this place and time? And I wonder if this radical perspective would affect how we share all that we have and all that we are with others who are all around us. I wonder if we realize the value of the gift of time that God gives us. How are we using it to create a heavenly atmosphere? And if that's true, will it affect how we speak to one another, how we treat one another, how we treasure our time together as God's people with a mission and a purpose? God's given each of us and all of us precious opportunities to share kindness and understanding, love and respect and care, as well as resources which can be used to improve the lives of everyone around us. Let's thank God for our opportunity to give this morning. Nurturing God, who welcomes all, we are grateful you compassionately offer your beloved people new opportunities to share with others. Help us remember the offerings we bring today are only one of the ways you call us to practice Christian discipleship. We ask you to bless and combine our financial and other resources with our talents, prayers, and presence, so we may significantly influence the lives of others who seek your love. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to invite you to stand and let's sing together our final song, our song of sending forth, number 495, called as Partners in Christ's Service.
Called as partners in Christ's service, called to ministries of grace, we respond with deep commitment, fresh new lines of faith to trace. May we learn the art of sharing, side by side and friend with friend, equal partners in our caring to fulfill God's chosen end. Christ's example, Christ inspiring, Christ's clear call to work and words. Let us follow, never faltering, reconciling folk on earth. Men and women, rich or poorer, all God's people, young and old, blending human skills together, gracious gifts from God unfold. Thus new patterns for Christ's mission in a small or global sense. Help us bear each other's burdens, breaking down each wall or fence. Words of comfort, words of vision, words of challenge said with care, bring new power and strength for action, make us call it free and fair.
Let us join together in our blessing and benediction. Let us go forth now to invest our lives in works of faith. May our Creator God be our defender and provider. May the Holy Spirit make us rich in faith and loving and merciful in action. Amen.